Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. While the coffee is brewing this cold, damp morning, I'd like to meander a little bit about timeouts. It can't be around trainers, behavioral consultants, or dog owners very long before the term comes up. Timeout is one of those many words, like aggression, reward, punishment, dominance, submission, that people often use as if the word had a meaning that everybody agreed on. But of course, that's not true. To try to sort this out, perhaps the first place to start is to ask, what is the purpose of the time out? When you ask that question, you discover that there are different purposes. There are some people who see time out as punishment. The dog has done something that they consider unacceptable, and they banish the dog to the crate or the corner or whatever. For other people, the timeout is like a breathing space. In this case, the animal is viewed overstimulated and removed from that environment and given an opportunity to settle down. And then there's a third group, a relatively minor group, that takes a more proactive approach. These people use timeouts before the animal has a chance to melt down. Sort of the way good parents do with their toddlers. Anyone who's ever been around toddlers knows that if you wait for the child to have a meltdown before you put her down for a nap, you're going to make things a lot more miserable for that child and yourself than if you had been smart enough to realize that the child was getting tired before she reached that point and put her down for a nap then. That brings me to my second point, which is another aspect of these definitions of timeouts that varies, how long the timeout should be. Some people say the timeout should be no more than a minute, just long enough for the animal to miss you. Others feel that the animal should be there longer because they need time. They need time to settle down and, if one believes that animals are capable of thought, to work things through, to gain a little self-control. And then there's the third group who view it as, if you put them in there and they settle down and they go to sleep, why don't you just let them sleep? So now we've got the same terminology. We've got three different starting points, three different purposes, three different times. Still the same word, though. In my mind, the one-minute timeout that is supposed to teach an animal that he needs us more than we need him has the potential to backfire. I agree that this can work, but there are two assumptions that have to be fulfilled. One has to do with the motivation of the person who's enforcing the timeout. Do they see it as punishment, or do they see it as something else? The second part of this is, how does the animal perceive this? Is this punishment? While some of us might want to think that there could be nothing worse for our dogs than to be separated from us, that anything more than a minute would be torture, that may not be true for all dogs. For some dogs, being away from us could be a fantastic reward because we're not fun. There are kids, there are other dogs, there are commands, there's these mixed signals. And you know, a minute away from that isn't nearly long enough. And the same thing goes for the other timeouts. The reason motivation is important is because if the dog views being away from us as a benefit, as a release from those stressful circumstances, then putting the dog into a timeout, which we see as a punishment, will actually reward the animal. So you see, here's the other side of it. We might be looking at this as a timeout for the dog, but we also need to consider the possibility that the dog might need a timeout from us. And so always we come back to context, don't we? God knows we'd all like a recipe book, wouldn't we? You know, you just open the book and it says, perfectly behaved dog, perfectly behaved cat, perfect day at work. Step one, step two, step three. You know those bulleted lists? Publishers love them. The quick and dirty list. One size fits all. But it's not like that. And it's certainly not like that with time out. But I will give you a list, if you're used to them. Step one, if you're going to use timeouts, define what you mean. What's the purpose? Why are you doing this? What do you hope to achieve? Step two, do you perceive this as a reward or a punishment for your animal? Step three, evaluate your animal's response to the timeout. Does it support your beliefs regarding the answers to one and two? That's the recipe. So the next time you think about using a timeout, take some time out and think about what you're doing. And think about it, not for just a minute, but for however long it takes to work it through.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.